This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Here are the headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. Iraqi eyewitnesses tell NPR battle in the Iraqi village of Jassaini is not what it seemed. Earlier this month, an American special ops unit reportedly killed 27 Iraqis there and said they were fighting terrorists. Eyewitnesses now say only innocent civilians died. And Merrill Lynch CEO Stanley O'Neill appears to be on his way out days after the company reported losses of more than $8 billion. One reason for O'Neill's ouster, surprising the company's board with losses that were larger than originally advertised. You can hear details on these stories and much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow in this hour on Talk of the Nation, Halloween is perfect for horror movies and for the nightmares they leave us with. But the boogeyman does more than just jolt us awake. Those bad dreams happen for a reason. The Anatomy of a Nightmare, plus Trick or Treat with Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. 2.5 years ago, Gennaro Wilson was convicted of aggravated child molestation after consensual sex with a 15-year-old girl, just 2 years his junior, at a 2003 New Year's Eve party. He received a sentence of at least 10 years in prison. The case sparked a national outcry, and some said his ordeal was another symbol of the justice system's bias against African Americans. Wilson's case went to the Georgia Supreme Court. On Friday, that court ordered him released in a 4-3 decision, describing the sentence as cruel and unusual punishment. If you have questions about the case and where it goes from here, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And Gennaro Wilson's appellate lawyer, B.J. Bernstein, joins us from her office in Atlanta. Nice to have you back on the program today.
It's great to be back with good news. I think I qualify today as the happiest lawyer in America.
Well, congratulations to you and especially, of course, to your client.
Oh, it's just he is ecstatic. I think he's still a little bit in shock. And his mother just loves that he's home, finally, after 32 months.
Were you able to be the person who broke the good news?
No, actually, he heard it from another inmate who had heard it on the radio. I was calling the warden. The warden actually told him, but he didn't believe it till he signed his release papers. Because if you'll remember, back in July of the summer, we had an order for his release, and then that was stopped. So he wasn't going to believe it till he signed the release papers. And then I've been driving around with new clothes in my car for him. And when they handed him the clothes and told him to put them on and get out of the prison jumpsuit, that was signal number two to him that this was real.
And finally, he got to walk out of the door a free man.
Exactly. And it was very, I think we were in shock. I think the emotion didn't hit really till yesterday. We were at Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is the congregation of Martin Luther King, and the warmth and the support that was there, and to see Gennaro with his mother, his grandmother, his sister, his little sister, that's when the emotion really hit that this is real and that he's out.
If it's not too private a thing, can you tell us what the first thing he wanted to do upon getting out of prison was?
It was funny, when he was in the car, he talked about food, and he had chicken wings the first night, and his mom said he kept going into the fridge all night. He was ready to get a cell phone, so his mother got him a cell phone, and he wanted a haircut. And so Saturday, he went and got a haircut.
it's amazing.
The little things, I think.
Things that really matter to you. How long was he in prison?
And he watched football on Saturday.
And how long was he in prison?
32 months.
And remind us, this case involved a situation where he was convicted of child molestation. There was, I gather, little doubt that there was some unsavory goings on at this party that he attended.
Absolutely. I mean, he said publicly he did some things wrong, that, you know, the kids were doing what a lot of young people do. They rented a room to party in for New Year's Eve. They were high school seniors. They were drinking. There was marijuana, and there were girls and sex. And he was 17. The young woman was 15. The sexual act was completely consensual. But under Georgia law at the time, it was a 10-year felony that carried sex offender registry. And Gennaro was not willing to accept that. And so because of his case, we were able to get the Georgia legislature to change the law and make it a misdemeanor between teens when they engage in any type of sexual act.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually paved the way for the Supreme Court decision, which held it cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment.
But I guess they then decided that on the basis of federal law. There was a determination, as you suggested earlier in this case, when Janarla Wilson could have gotten out of jail but would have been required to register as a sex offender, I guess, for the rest of his life. What's the situation with that?
He won't have to do that now, the way the decision's been written. And that was a major component for him, because the way the sex offender registries are being written, you can't live within 1,000 feet of a church, a school bus stop, a swimming pool. Pretty much most metropolitan areas are off limits. You've got to pretty much live in the woods or on a roadside motel if you're a registered sex offender in Georgia. And that doesn't really work for most people, and certainly not Janarla, who is not a predator in the sense that we think of when we pass these laws. But he was a young person that experimented with sex and made mistakes.
We're talking with B.J. Bernstein, Janarla Wilson's appellate attorney. Wilson was released from prison on Friday. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's turn to James, and James calling us from San Antonio in Texas.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, I just like to know, why should a thug be given any special privileges because he's African-American?
You know, he really, you know, this idea that he's a thug really is not the case. He was 17 years old. He was a star athlete. He had a 3.2 GPA. He was college bound. Statistically, whether white or black, by the time you're 17 years old, over 50% of the young people have engaged in sexual acts. A large majority of our young people experiment with alcohol and marijuana. That does not make you a thug. It may not be right, but honestly, I would dispute that it makes you a thug. He had never committed a violent act in his life. This is not something involving weapons. This is not a fight or an act of violence. It was purely what young people see, you know, quite candidly, on television, in television programs, music videos, and yet we express shock when it happens, when it's all around us. And I think Janarlo's situation is brought up, that we have got to have more direct conversations with young people, and just calling them a thug is not going to make them change their conduct. We got to talk to them about why, what it is, and what can we do to help them not go in that direction.
Thanks for the call, James.
Thank you.
All right. Let's turn now to, this is Alice. Alex with us from Pacifica in California.
Just wanted the guest to clarify. She said that the legislature had changed this to a misdemeanor for teen sex. Is that only teen consensual sex, or what about the case where one teen is alleged to be coercing another?
No, it's only for consensual sex. If it is a violent or coerced event, then they do not benefit from the misdemeanor statute, and the regular adult statutes apply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
And thanks, Alice. And you mentioned that the sex that Janarla Wilson was engaged in was also consensual. I guess under the law that existed at the time, there's no such thing. A 15-year-old cannot consent.
Exactly. It's the legal idea they can't consent. It's the reality that, you know, the Center for Disease Control's own statistics, which in fact the Georgia Supreme Court cited in their opinion, shows that young people as young as 13, 14 years old are experimenting with different sexual acts, whether it's intercourse or something else. And, you know, if you think about it practically, locking them all up isn't going to be the answer to that problem.
Let's get another caller in. This is Steve. Steve with us from Oswego in New York.
Yes, hi. I just heard you say that she couldn't consent because of her age.
Correct.
Because she was 15. I was following, and I was under the impression that the whole, because he filmed it, made it non-consensual.
Well, the fact that there was a video camera there, and this is what was, it's not unusual in the sense of, I was just speaking with some high school students last week, and they think it's funny that we as adults are totally shocked that you just don't videotape everything or use your camera phone to record it or memorialize every event in your life, including parties or sex or whatever it is.
Right.
The videotape did not affect whether it was consensual or not in this case. It was just, it was something that was there that I think horrified everybody. And again, I think that's why this case has caught the national attention, is it's revealing a lot of issues, that there's a disparity between our high school generation and us. I mean, I know historically there's always things that separate generations, but
right.
this group's really presenting to us some things that are hard to fathom of the YouTube generation, that everything is out there on tape, good, bad, or the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call, Steve.
Bye-bye.
And let's see if we can turn now to, this is Angelique. Angelique with us from Daytona Beach in Florida.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call, and really love the show.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I have not heard, I'm delighted that Gennaro was actually released, very happy about that, and I'm wondering about the young woman who was involved in this case and her family and how they've responded to the situation, and I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Angelique.
The mother of the young woman involved spoke this summer, and she indicated that she did not want the case prosecuted, that it was a consensual act. But they, you know, we have never talked to them, and I really, early on, I spoke briefly to the young woman involved. According to the newspapers, I believe she's now 19 years old, has served in the military. I think she's out of the military and has a child, and understandably wants to live quietly. And we've supported that, and we have never, ever, a lot of people, I get a ton of emails about, what about the girl? Why don't you prosecute the girl? And to us, that's not the answer either. The answer would be not to prosecute either young person, but to perhaps have gotten them into juvenile court to get the parents involved, because they both did something that you parents wouldn't want. But we've never wanted to, quote, go after her or anything like that, because in essence, they both are victims of youthful indiscretion.
We're talking with B.J. Bernstein, the appellate attorney who represented Gennaro Wilson last week. The Georgia Supreme Court voted to release Mr. Wilson from prison after 32 months. He was convicted of a child molestation, and the sentence the court found was a cruel and unusual punishment. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let me ask you, B.J. Bernstein, the decision was not exactly a slam dunk, a divided 4-3 court. What was the minority's view? What were they arguing should have been done?
They were talking about the fact that when the Romeo and Juliet law was passed, which is the new law making it a misdemeanor, that it should have been retroactive. And that previously this court has held that it was not cruel and unusual punishment to punish a teenager this way, and they were not ready to overturn that precedent. This is definitely an example of where the community's common sense and outrage, and again, I think that's why this case has been so talked about, conflicts a little with the technical legal issues that were involved here, which were very difficult. And that's why we got a 48-page decision in this thing.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to read it?
It took me longer than it was to get it on the seeing it on CNN, because they called me and they faxed me the decision. And unfortunately, my fax machine is a little slow. I may need to get a faster one. And they apparently emailed it to the media, so the media was getting through it faster than I was. So I'm looking at the television, and it says he's free. And I will say, from the first page and a half of the decision, I could tell. But until I read every word of it, I wasn't going to believe it. So I was behind the rest of the world in figuring this out.
You may want to hire a high school student as a consultant and get some faster technology.
Exactly. They know better than I do.
Let's see if we can get Eric on the line. Eric's calling us from Auburn in New York.
Yes, I'm wondering why, with both children being underage, only the female or male was charged. The female wasn't charged. That seems to indicate that females are considered incapable of making decisions for themselves.
I guess that would be a question properly for the prosecutor and not for the defense attorney,
well,
but B.J. Bernstein.
17 under Georgia law is an adult for criminal purposes. So that's part of it, is that he was 17 and she was 15. The age of consent in Georgia is 16. And so in this particular instance, that wouldn't have fit this situation.
Thanks. Thank you.
And thanks very much for that call, Eric. And in fact, the last time we had you on, you had assembled a database of the laws that are confusing in any one state and also vary from state to state.
Exactly. Formed a nonprofit and a website called My Fifth, the number M, it's MY, the number 5th.org. And it's devoted to teaching young people 21 and under what laws apply to them. And through video, music, a blog, and there is an interactive map where you can click on and find the age of consent and various laws in your state. And we've started going to schools. In fact, this Saturday I was in Fayette County, Georgia, talking to some young people about the laws, because beyond just the sex laws, there are a lot of confusion when the prosecution and the law says ignorance of the law is no excuse, and yet we're applying the criminal laws to young people earlier and earlier. And they get all their information anecdotally or from watching the celebrity news sites with regard to what happens to Lindsay Lohan or Paris
right.
Hilton or T.I. without realizing what's going to happen if you're not a celebrity or wealthy or have access to good counsel. What kind of things do you need to know to try to avoid the courts before the police come for you for something that you thought of as a prank that the law actually thinks of as a crime?
Yeah, and the law might be different in Lindsay Lohan's California than it is in your Missouri, Georgia, or wherever it is you happen to be.
Yeah, I think Georgia and California are diametrically opposed on punishment.
Do we know, finally, what Gennaro Wilson plans to do with his life now?
He's ready to go to college. We are going through offers now. He had graduated high school because although he had been arrested his senior year, he was able to finish before his trial. And he says he wants to study sociology, and then he's going to help me and already is going to be speaking, I think, in the next few weeks to young people through My Fifth, because he's the best ambassador for telling someone young, look what can happen to you. I'm still young, but look what happened to my life because I made some mistakes, and trying to help them not make the same ones.
B.J. Bernstein, again, congratulations. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
B.J. Bernstein, the appellate attorney for Gennaro Wilson, who was released from prison on Friday. She's the founder of MyFifth.org, a website where kids can go to find out what their rights are. She joined us from her office in Atlanta. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.